So I want to give us a little perspective, because what happens in Eastertide is sometimes we jump around from one day to the next. Like last week when Catherine was giving her sermon, we had Jesus meet Thomas a week later. What's happening this morning in this scripture is this is the same day that Christ rose from the dead, that the women saw him at the tomb, that Peter and John went to the tomb to see if they could see him. But what had not happened was he had not appeared to the disciples in the upper room. So we were in that in-between time. When Cephas and his companion left the disciples, what had been going on is the women came and said, "We've seen the Lord." And the men said, "We didn't see anything." And the two disciples, we don't know why, decided to go home. So they're starting their journey home, not certain what it means that Jesus rose, not certain if the women were telling the truth. They had all these hopes and dreams. They even called him a prophet. They no longer called him the Messiah. They called him a prophet. And they were talking to each other, probably a bit grieved, a bit in despair. All their hopes and dreams had gotten dashed or placed on a cross, and they weren't certain what this resurrection thing meant. And Jesus comes along beside him. Now, some people say that he might have done something what we might call today as a Jedi mind trick when he said to them, "This is not the Jesus you are looking for." But you had to have watched Star Wars to understand that reference. I just realized. But I don't think that's what happened. I don't think Jesus was disguised. I don't think they had Jesus cataracts on their eyes. I think they expected Jesus to be gone. And so this man who came beside him, they couldn't even recognize who he was because they were not anticipating it to be Jesus. And so they get to tell him everything that had happened. And I love it that the scriptures say when he asked that thing, what things? Can you imagine what things? We get the news, and when 9/11 hit, everybody knew 9/11 hit. So if you came across somebody and they said, "Well, what happened on 9/11? You would look at them like they were, "Where were you?" And this is kind of their response to this man. This Jesus, "Where were you? These are the things that happened." And they begin to recount the story of his death and his resurrection. And he's so patient. Have you ever noticed how patient Jesus is? He is so very patient with them. They need to know who he is. You know, think about this. I want you to think about this. This is the first appearance to disciples. It's not in the upper room with the crowd. It's to these two men who have almost decided to walk away. They're on their way home. They're walking 7 miles to Emmaus because everything they'd hoped for was gone. Jesus arrives and says, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe." And then he tells them. He interprets the scriptures to them so that they can see and believe. But they still don't get it. And when they invite him in, they offer the hospitality that all Jews offered anybody they were walking in. When they invite that hospitality, it's in that practice of blessing bread, breaking it, and giving it that they recognize who is with them. And then he's gone. So they have a choice. He's gone. What do we do now? And I love that. Weren't our hearts burning as he broke open the scriptures for us along the road? Imagine, it was 7 miles. Do you know how long it takes to walk 7 miles? Well, depending on your age, it could take different lengths of time to walk 7 miles. But also, if you're not really happy, it's going to take you even longer. So it may have been hours that they got to listen to Jesus firsthand about how Jesus is revealed in the scriptures until that moment. But they still couldn't see. Their vision was still not clear. until the breaking of the bread. And did you pay attention to what they did after that? Okay, remember, they invited him in to dinner or to a meal at the closing of the day, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Well, after he appears, that same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. So more than likely they walked back to Jerusalem in the dark. Now, they might not have walked. They might have run because they were so excited about what had happened. And when they got there, Simon has seen the Lord and they tell their story. Can you imagine what's happening in that upper room at that point? Because probably he has appeared in the upper room. No, he hasn't, according to Luke. I just looked. Good thing I have my scriptures open. But they get another witness to the sighting of Jesus. But Jesus coming to the disciples in a moment when they needed him to believe, to see and believe. And so I called it Jesus' vision. How do we have Jesus' vision? How do we see Christ in our world today? You could almost claim that today we're seeing less of Christ and more of the world. And we might move into those places of despair and want to just go home and close our doors because the world is not the place we want it to be. Do we have Jesus' cataracts over our eyes? Are we unable to see where Christ is moving in the world today? That we did not get to see the resurrected Christ, but we do have those scriptures that Christ said he is all through them. Can we see? Do we have Jesus' vision when we look into God's word? Do we see Christ at all? Are we able to believe? Has the world so dulled our vision that we can't see when Jesus is in our midst? So my prayer is that we get better Jesus' vision, that we begin to see and look out and see the people even in our pews and see Jesus working in their lives and know that Jesus is alive. We get to remember and recount those days when Christ came into our own life and changed our life forever. How many of you remember when Christ changed your life forever? You're all looking at me like, no. Because I can still remember when Christ changed my life forever. I know I wouldn't be standing here if Christ had not come into my life. I know my marriage wouldn't be healed if Christ had not come into my life. These are the things that I know. And that even when things look dark and despairing, Christ is there to guide and direct and bring hope and healing in the darkness. We have to have Jesus' vision to see it. But the other piece of Jesus' vision isn't just looking for Christ and Jesus in the world. It's reflecting that back to the world. That the world then sees Jesus and Christ in us. That walk to Emmaus, that 7-mile journey of walking and talking with Jesus, was an opportunity for them to learn and be set afire. Weren't our hearts burning as he opened the scriptures to us? They were set afire in such a way that when they finally recognized that Jesus was in their midst, they had to go and tell. They just had to go and tell. Can we see Jesus in our midst? Do we have the vision to see Jesus in our midst? Do we have the heart and the passion to go and tell that Christ is present even here today? That Christ is present in the people who take the time to use a little grippy thing and pick up trash along the road? That Christ is present not only in the people who put food in the blessing box, but in the people who take food out? That Christ is present when the doors open and community members pour in just to receive that which we give. And we know that it didn't cost us much to give what we gave, but it was like it was the world to them. It's Eastertide. It's a time when we reflect and we rejoice that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. But there are going to be people who don't believe, who walk away from the upper room, who don't believe because they didn't see Jesus in the tomb. They don't believe he rose. But Jesus will come to all of us, and even to them, in that place of need. Just as Catherine told us last week, how Jesus came to the disciples and gave them what they needed. He came to Thomas, gave Thomas what Thomas needed to believe. If you're struggling with doubt, Christ will give you what you need to believe that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. The world will be saved through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what we're called to do is to have the vision to see it, to get excited about it, and to go and tell the story. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.